of New York. The author, whose work we had gathered to celebrate, was a Wall Street Journal columnist and former presidential speechwriter. I was there at the invitation of the editor-in-chief of Bloomberg News, whom I know because we attended the same Oxford College more than a quarter of a century ago. At the party, I greeted and briefly conversed with about 10 other people, among them the President of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Chief Executive Officer of Alcoa Inc., one of America's largest industrial companies, the editor of the journal's comment pages, a presenter on Fox News, a member of New York's Colony Club and her husband, and a young speechwriter who introduced himself by saying he had read one of my books, which is, without fail, the right way to strike up a conversation with a professor. At one level, it is obvious why I was at that party. The fact that I have worked at a succession of well-known universities, Oxford, Cambridge, New York, Harvard, and Stanford, automatically makes me part of multiple webs of college alumni. As a consequence of my work as a writer and professor, I have also joined a number of economic and political networks, such as the World Economic Forum and the Bilderberg meetings. I am a member of 3 London clubs and 1 in New York. I presently belong to the boards of 3 corporate entities, 1 a global asset manager, 1 a British think tank, 1 a New York museum. And yet, despite being relatively well networked, I have almost no power. An interesting feature of the party was that the former mayor took the opportunity, in his short speech of welcome, to hint, not very enthusiastically, that he was considering entering, as an independent candidate, the contest to choose the next US president. But, as a British citizen, I could not even vote in that election. Nor would an endorsement from me in any way have helped his or any other candidate's chances. For, as an academic, I am assumed by the overwhelming majority of Americans to be wholly detached from the real lives of ordinary people. Unlike my former colleagues at Oxford, I do not control undergraduate admissions. When I taught at Harvard, I could award good or mediocre grades to my students, but I had essentially no power to prevent even the weakest of them from graduating. I had just 1 among many senior faculty votes when it came to PhD admissions. Again, no power. I have a measure of power over the people who work for my advisory firm, but in the space of 5 years, I have fired a grand total of 1 employee. I am a father of 4, but my influence, never mind power, over 3 of these children is minimal. Even the youngest, who is 5, is already learning how to defy my authority. In short, I am just not a very hierarchical person. By choice, I am more of a networks guy. As an undergraduate, I enjoyed the lack of stratification in university life, particularly the multitude of haphazardly organized societies. I joined many and turned up irregularly to few. My 2 favorite experiences at Oxford were playing the double bass in a jazz quintet, an ensemble that to this day prides itself on not having a leader, and participating in the meetings of a small conservative discussion club called the Canning. I opted to become an academic because in my early 20s I strongly preferred freedom to money. Seeing my contemporaries and their fathers employed in traditional, vertical management structures, I shuddered. Observing the Oxford dons who taught me, fellows of a medieval corporate entity, citizens of an ancient republic of letters, sovereigns in their book-lined studies, I had an irresistible urge to follow in their leisurely, leathery footsteps. When academic life turned out to be rather less well remunerated than the women in my life seemed to expect, I strove to earn without submitting to the indignity of real employment. As a journalist, I preferred to be a freelance, at most a part-timer, preferably a columnist on a retainer. When I turned to broadcasting, I wrote and presented as an independent contractor, and later formed my own production company. Entrepreneurship has suited my love of freedom, though I would say that I have founded companies more to remain free than to become rich. The thing I enjoy most is writing books about subjects that interest me. The best project, the history of the Rothschild banks,